May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Psalm 51, we have this great psalm of confession and repentance from David. I just want to read a few verses to you. It says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach others to walk in your ways, and help others who have fallen like I have. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou art my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you don't delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You aren't pleased with burnt offerings. But the sacrifices that you delight in, O God, are broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will never despise." This is from Isaiah 66. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me, a dwelling place where I can be at rest? For my hands have made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But this is the place where I will abide, and this is a place where I will find my rest, to him who is humble and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." Even though Saul was God's first choice to be king, David wasn't the first choice, Saul was. The Lord even declares that about Saul after Saul had been disobedient for the number of occasions and was not very penitent. He said, "I would have established your throne forever." The difference between Saul and David is really interesting to me because David's sins were much more serious than Saul's sins. And yet the difference was is that Saul offered to God something that God wouldn't accept. And David offered to God something that God would accept, something that God delighted in. In that prayer before the Lord in Psalm 51, David saying things, "Lord, don't remove your spirit from me. Don't remove your presence from me." And the thing that David did that assured that the presence of God, his conscious experience of the presence of God, wouldn't be lifted, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit wouldn't be lifted off of his life. Jesus sits on the throne of David forever, not the throne of Saul. Is that David offered to God something that God delighted in. And it wasn't sacrifices or burnt offerings. It was a broken and contrite heart. What Saul offered to God, one, he tried to deny that he had done anything wrong. And then when the Lord said, made it clear he understood what he had done, he said, "Well, it really wasn't my fault. The people pressured me to do what I did, and I gave in to their pressure." That seemed like such a small thing, because we do stuff like that to God all the time. But it's the difference between David, even though he had sinned much worse, posturing himself and positioning himself for God to do extraordinary things through him, and yet Saul so grieved the Holy Spirit that God could never really do anything through him again. That place in Isaiah 66, God said, "I'm looking for a place to make my presence real in, a resting place for me, a place where I can manifest my presence and glory." And that place is a humble and contrite heart. Here's the point, and it's very practical for all of us. What God doesn't delight in are our excuses. What he delights in, what restores us in anointing and presence, is a broken and contrite heart. How many times have you heard somebody say to you, or how many times have you yourself, doing what I do for a living, I get thousands and thousands and thousands of times, have I heard others explain to me why it's okay? Or if it's not okay, the excuses for why they had such a bad attitude, or why they got angry at somebody, why they were disrespectful to their humanity or whatever. It was because of what they did. Or why it was okay that they were afraid or anxious or complained or griped. It was because of the situation they were in. Last night, you know, once I had this little thing I keep saying that I tell. This is from Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me, a dwelling place where I can be at rest? For my hands have made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But this is the place where I will abide, and this is a place where I will find my rest. To him who is humble and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Even though Saul was God's first choice to be king, David wasn't the first choice, Saul was. The Lord even declares that about Saul after Saul had been disobedient for the number of occasions and was not very penitent. He said, I would have established your throne forever. The difference between Saul and David is really interesting to me because David's sins were much more serious than Saul's sins. And yet the difference was is that Saul offered to God something that God wouldn't accept. And David offered to God something that God would accept, something that God delighted in. In that prayer before the Lord in Psalm 51, David saying things, Lord, don't remove your spirit from me. Don't remove your presence from me. And the thing that David did that assured that the presence of God, his conscious experience of the presence of God, wouldn't be lifted, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit wouldn't be lifted off of his life. Jesus sits on the throne of David forever, not the throne of Saul. Is that David offered to God something that God delighted in. And it wasn't sacrifices or burnt offerings. It was a broken and contrite heart. What Saul offered to God, one, he tried to deny that he had done anything wrong. And then when the Lord said, made it clear he understood what he had done, he said, well, it really wasn't my fault. The people pressured me to do what I did, and I gave in to their pressure. That seemed like such a small thing, because we do stuff like that to God all the time. But it's the difference between David, even though he had sinned much worse, posturing himself and positioning himself for God to do extraordinary things through him, and yet Saul so grieved the Holy Spirit that God could never really do anything through him again. That place in Isaiah 66, God said, I'm looking for a place to make my presence real in, a resting place for me, a place where I can manifest my presence and glory. And that place is a humble and contrite heart. Here's the point, and it's very practical for all of us. What God doesn't delight in are our excuses. What he delights in, what restores us in anointing and presence, is a broken and contrite heart. How many times have you heard somebody say to you, or how many times have you yourself, doing what I do for a living, I get thousands and thousands and thousands of times, have I heard others explain to me why it's okay? Or if it's not okay, the excuses for why they had such a bad attitude, or why they got angry at somebody, why they were disrespectful to their humanity or whatever. and it was because of what they did, or why it was okay that they were afraid or anxious or complained or griped. It was because of the situation they were in. Last night, you know, once I had this little thing I keep saying that I tell these doctors, they ask me how I'm feeling. I tell them, I was feeling great until you fixed me. And now I'm struggling to get okay again. And one of the side effects has been so far that the Lord's let me walk through is that the medication I take affects my sleep. And so just when I think I'm getting a handle on it, different things. And so last night at like 2:30 in the morning, conversing with the Lord that if it's true that I can't get fully healthy without getting good rest, I'm doing my part. I'm laying in the bed and trying to close my eyes. What's the deal with him? And so I knew I wasn't worshiping him. I was certainly not delighting in him. Psalm 34 says, bless the Lord at all times. I wasn't doing that. And the Holy Spirit kind of caught me. And then I found myself in conversation with the Holy Spirit going, yeah, but if you just let me get some sleep, I wouldn't feel like this. I don't feel very good. And so what I was offering to the Lord were excuses. It just doesn't wash with him. The blood of Jesus, we've said this over again over the years, cleanses sin, confessed as sin, never cleanses excuses. So let's just talk about inner relationships, because that's where we live most of our days, right? That's really the most challenging thing we deal with. How many times have you bit, barked, pouted, and you think you have a legitimate excuse because of their behavior? You're never going to get set free. You're never going to get to walk in the anointing. You're never going to be that abiding place for him at the level he wants you to be, as long as you keep blaming it on other things and other people. What God's looking for from me and you is a broken and contrite heart about our sin. And if Jesus wouldn't do it that way, then you and I don't have any excuse either. Because Christ-likeness is our plumb line, not your unique personality type. I said this before years ago, when the church was really, the gift of the prophecy was emerging again and things were happening. Anybody who was mean and nasty seemed to have the gift of prophecy. We kind of made that one of the characteristics. You're a prophet because you're just mean and nasty. And you're spooked very directly. Or I love the excuses, well, I'm just one of those truth people. I just tell it like it is. Really? Ephesians says, speak the truth in love. And that doesn't mean, well, I love them. I speak the truth. No, it means speak the truth in love. Cased in love. Enveloped in love. And the point I'm trying to make is very practical. Stop making excuses for unchristlike behavior, responses, and attitudes. It's not their fault. And blaming them and explaining to somebody else why they deserve your attitude or whatever it is, or this situation, it's okay for you to act this way because of this situation, then God doesn't accept those sacrifices. He delights in a broken and contrite heart. Ask God to break you over your sin. Because the other side of that brokenness is what? Filling, anointing, presence, glory released in your life. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Don't have attitude towards me. That's sin. Okay. Peace, Lord, be always with you. Let's stand together. Share the sign of God's peace with us.